Hello, once again, everybody. Thank you for joining me here on this Thursday, October 17th edition of Bang the Book Radio. My name is Adam Burke, your host for the next hour and 5 hour and 10 minutes or so, as we go over all kinds of things in the world of sports from a betting focus. Happy to have you with me as one guest joins me on the program here today. That is professional handicapper Brad Powers from bradpowerssports.com. We'll get to as many college football games as we can, get to a trio of NFL games as well. Then to finish up today's show, I'll round out with all the college games that we didn't get to here on our previous segments with our other guests. Over at bangthebook.com, we are your one-stop shop for sports betting news and information. Lots of great stuff being done by our very talented cast of writers. We've got Danny Forbes' model projections and his NFL power ratings for week 7. My college football power ratings for week 8 went up earlier on in the week. We got some NBA stuff rolling out here as well. Admir Aljic doing some preview stuff and some season win totals. I put up my first situational betting tips article for next week's games. Of course, the NBA season starts on Tuesday. Parker Michaels' daily NHL stuff. We got UFC and NASCAR to get you ready for the weekend. Tons of stuff going on over at bangthebook.com. And of course, as you know, this and every edition of Bang the Book Radio presented by our friends over at DSI Sportsbook. BTB and the number 200 is that promo code. 100% deposit match bonus for the sportsbook. 100% deposit match bonus for the live casino at BetDSI. It's only a game until you bet it. One guest on the program here today, and he is a very good one. That is professional handicapper Brad Powers from bradpowerssports.com. Brad, how's it going today, man?
It's going well. Some weeks I'm very good. Some weeks, it kind of depends, buddy.
I hear you, man, especially at this time of the year. And look, you know, too, I mean, as we look around at the college football landscape and, we've got elite teams, we've got really bad teams, and week in and week out, I'm not sure what to get from the teams in the middle.
I'll be honest with you. I grew up a huge Notre Dame fan, and Lou Holtz was the coach at that point. And he would say it time and time again, and he even said it, I mean, almost once a week in his, decade-plus career at ESPN. And I think there's a lot of truth to what he said. And he basically said, as a head coach, you never knew what you're going to get with it. You have a different team every week. And with 18, 19, 20-year-old kids, I mean, he would routinely say it. You got a different team each week. You never fully know what's going on with these kids' personal lives that can maybe impact them. But it makes it fun. It can make it very profitable. It can make it very frustrating. So, and I'll be honest with you, with the new generation of kids, I honestly think it's, and I'm not saying this is a negative at all, but I just think it's because they're more self-aware about what's going on around them, even in the world. I think it becomes, the highs and lows are even more than what they were 10, 15, 20 years ago.
Yeah, I think that's fair to say. And also, we've kind of talked about this before, and maybe this is a discussion for the summer when we start putting together power ratings for next year, but the talent pool is dispersed so much wider than it used to be. Yep. You know, kids, you know, these NFL teams don't have a problem taking a first-round pick from a Conference USA school or, you know, an AAC school or something like that. You don't have to go to a power blue blood program to get noticed anymore. So you've got some four stars that stay home or maybe just go somewhere because they like a coach. You've got game changers at all of these different programs, and sometimes their teammates play up to their level. Sometimes their teammates don't come close to their level. And it seems much more high variance in college football than it's ever been outside of, again, the top 10 and maybe the bottom 20.
Yeah, I agree with that, because I would argue the top 10 is about as good as it's ever been. But I would also argue the bottom 10 is probably as bad as it's ever been. Everybody in the middle, you know, shake them up and pull a number out of a hat. But, you know, there's teams I certainly, you know, Alabama and Clemson I had higher, power rated higher at the end of last year just because they're so dominant week after week after week. I just think there's with the Ohio States, the LSUs, the Oklahomas, all those teams are much better than what they've been in years past compared to the Alabama and Clemsons. But it's the bottom 10. I mean, I'm talking UMass, Akron, Connecticut are about as low as I've ever had any teams power rated. I mean, actually, they would be. All three of them would be the lowest power rated teams I've ever had in my power ratings. I've been doing this a decade plus now. That to me, it's weird. I mean, on one thing you want to say parity, but on the other side, at the top and bottom of college football, like I just mentioned, it's never been better. It's never been worse.
All right, so we got a lot of games to try and get to here on today's show. We'll get to as many of them as we can as time permits. I know Brad's had a very busy media schedule this week, so certainly want to respect his time, as you know he's always willing to come on the show here and join us. But we start on Friday here, Brad. Game 309-310, Marshall and Florida Atlantic. FAU a 5.5-point favorite here. Total on the rise, up from 57 to anywhere from 59 to 60. A lot of places sitting 59.5 right now.
Yeah, I'm more in the 3.5 range as far as a pure power rating. I think FAU had a misleading game last week where they were very fortunate. Middle Tennessee, you know, out first down them, out yarded them. But the Blue Raiders were -3 in turnovers, led the game at halftime, and, you know, were driving to get the back door late and threw a pick. So maybe not as impressive for me on that Florida Atlantic game coming out of that one as the rest of the market. And, you know, I don't see a tremendous amount of value, but you know, one of the wise guy's favorite stats, obviously, yards per play. Marshall's number 56 in yards per play differential. FAU's number 105 in that category. I'm leaning on Marshall here.
I think it's tough because, you know, you look at this FAU schedule and they play Ohio State and UCF coming right out of the start of the season after some key losses from last year. Then they've won the four games that they're supposed to win, beating really inferior competition. Marshall's a tough one to me because some weeks they look pretty good. Some weeks they look really, really bad. This is kind of a theme across all of college football this year where I don't know what I'm going to get from these teams because there are so many Jekyll and Hyde performances. I've actually got this game 6.5 because I respect what Florida Atlantic has done here of late, but maybe I shouldn't because, as you said, the one opponent they've really played the last four games actually beat them on the stat sheet, and that was Middle Tennessee.
Yeah, and if you compare, Marshall played Middle Tennessee the week prior. Marshall lost outright as a favorite, but Marshall, like, dominated that box score so against Middle Tennessee. So I think two misleading finals, and these two teams last, you know, as far as their opponent against Middle Tennessee in the last 2 weeks, to me that's creating value. But again, we'll see. I don't think it's a bargain. I mean, to me, a bargain on Marshall would be, you know, getting 6.5 instead of 5.5. But, again, just a lean for me on the Thundering Herd.
Yeah, I don't really like this game too much. In fact, I don't really like too much about three of the four Friday games, but one I am interested in here, game 311-312, Pitt and Syracuse. Pitt, 3.5-point favorite up at what used to be the Carrier Dome. I don't know what they call it now. They got into a big tiff with Carrier before the start of the season, which nobody paid attention to except for me. Total 51.5 here in this game. What do you think about this one on Friday night in the ACC?
So my power ratings are pretty strong at Syracuse here. It's got like Syracuse by a half. So obviously when you got 4 points of discrepancy around key numbers, right around, you know, a pick'em game, that should mean automatic bet for me on the orange. I'm worried. And here's what I'm worried. I think there's a big mismatch. You look at Pitt. They're number 2 in the country in sacks, 27 so far this season. What's Syracuse's main weakness on offense? Well, giving up sacks. They've allowed 26 this year. That's bottom 5 in the country. So top 5 in the country getting after the quarterback versus bottom 5 in the country protecting your quarterback. And if you watch the first 2-3 quarters of last week's game against NC State for Syracuse, that was a major issue for them. Even though my power ratings say Syracuse is a play, the matchup advantage, which doesn't always go in. I mean, obviously, you know, Matt, you know, the strength of your units are obviously into a power rating, but not specific, you know, matchups against an opponent are building your power ratings line. So that's a little bit of a teaching moment there. Again, that prevented me from betting the orange.
I like Pitt here. I mean, my power rating's Pitt -2.5. So you and I are a little bit different in that regard. But I do like Pitt by 3.5 here for the reasons that you just mentioned, because Syracuse is probably going to face a lot of third and long here in this game. Neither one of these teams can run the football. Both of these teams, 5.04 yards per play on offense. The difference is Pitt is top 10 in yards per play because of that sack rate on defense. Syracuse, I think, was 76th or something like that. So they're well down the board defensively compared to Pitt. And, you know, you got a Pitt team here. It's, you know, played some pretty decent teams, played at UCF, played at Penn State, teams that are, you know, top 10, top 15 in people's power ratings right now. So I do like Pitt. I also like the under because Syracuse is top 10 on sacks as well with, I think, 20 or something like that. So I think we could see a lot of third and long here in this game.
Absolutely. Let me ask you, I don't need the actual power ring, but where do you have these teams ranked? I have like Pitt 42, Syracuse 54. I'm guessing you're much lower on Syracuse.
I've got Pitt 45. I've got Syracuse 68.
All right, fair enough.
So, you know, and it's one of those things too where, again, I mean, you've got a Syracuse team that's had some inconsistent performances. Pitt obviously has too. And I think between you and I, usually in past years, our power ratings have generally tended to be pretty close. But I think because we've got that level of inconsistency with all these teams in the middle, you and I are winding up with more discrepancies this year than we've had in the past.
Yeah, I'd agree. How much have you downgraded Syracuse since the start of the season?
Oh, I'd have to go back and look.
All right, fair enough. I mean, I got them down about 5.5-6 points. And it's not like I was extremely high on the Orange. In fact, I think I bet against them one of my Game of the Year big bets. I took Florida State over them because Syracuse was favored in Tallahassee. So, man, coming into this season, I didn't think I was that high. So, I'll have to, I really respect you. I think you do a great job. So, I'm turning the host here asking you questions, but I'm a very inquisitive person, and I'm just trying to see what you're seeing that maybe I'm not.
Yeah, I've got Syracuse down about 10 points from the start of the year, but obviously – I just had
then
them
that's
too
the
high.
Difference, right, that's the difference right there. All right. I will, if I get beat up pretty good on Syracuse coming up here, then I'll get much more aggressive with my downgrade of them. So I appreciate talking this through. I like this making a sausage as far as the handicap on a game.
I mean, I had Syracuse 76.5. My top team was 96.5 coming into the year. That was Clemson. So I moved them down 10 points. They moved down about 30 or so spots in my power ratings. That may have been too high. Maybe I gave Dino Babers too much credit coming into the year, and I was kind of playing catch up a little bit with them. But like you said, I mean, that's our discrepancy and that's our difference right there. So we'll see how this Friday night game plays out. Speaking of a couple of teams that I think we've kind of had to move around a little bit here as we transition to Saturday, Duke and Virginia, game 317, 318. Virginia, a 3-point favorite in this game, pretty much market wide, and it's mostly 3 flat now, total of 45. Hosting the Blue Devils.
I disagree with the line move here. I get there's a lot of negativity about Virginia right now. And, they lose an outstanding corner in Bryce Hall. He's a preseason All-American. He's out for the year. But here's where I think I get it. They can't protect their quarterback, Bryce Perkins. But other than that, I still think they're solid. Their last two games, which they've lost against Notre Dame, Virginia had the yardage edge there. They lost by 15. Why? They're -4 in turnovers. Last week, you dive into the box score, they controlled matters. I mean, they got stopped on downs at the Miami 24, had a 38-yard field goal blocked, fumbled at the Miami 20-yard line, then settled for a bunch of field goals. UVA's played the tougher schedule. They're better in yards per play differential than Duke. How in the hell is this line only 5 to me, especially matchup-wise? Virginia's won and covered the last 4 meetings against Duke. I mean, it concerns me that I don't understand the line, but I'm going to have a pretty significant bet on Virginia here. My pure power rating number has this closer to 7.
Interesting. I think we're going to split the difference here. My number is 4.5 on this game. So I do disagree with the line move, much like you. My line's not quite as high. For Duke, again, another team that I just don't know. I mean, NCA&T is a very good FCS team. Kudos to them for that blowout win. They beat Middle Tennessee State on the road. Middle Tennessee State is a team that just can't score. They move the football and they can't score. Virginia Tech's not very good. The loss to Pitt. Georgia Tech, not particularly good. Georgia Tech should have covered that number last week. They went for 2 early in the second half. Didn't get it. Lost by 18. Of course, I was on Georgia Tech in that one. But I agree with you. I think that a lot of people are discarding Virginia because they haven't looked the part of being a division favorite, but they're still a really good team, and that's kind of the perception that we deal with here at this time of the year.
Yeah, I mean, and nobody's, obviously they have their deficiencies, but who doesn't outside those top, 8 teams or so in college football? So I don't understand. But again, I mean, here we are week 8, and, what are the true data? I mean, we only got a couple of really good data points because these teams, played such disparate schedules. And how good is a data point? You mentioned North Carolina A&T solid, but I mean, it's still an FCS team. I think Virginia played William & Mary, and then, the old Dominions and what of the world that these teams play. you know, how good of a data point, how much can we trust that? You know, and that's the question mark we have. That's why sometimes I think it gets easier in college football in November, because they have multiple conference games data points that I can start isolating and digging into.
Something I do look at here, I mean, you know, you look at Duke's games, and outside of the game against Alabama, they've scored at least 30 points in all of them. And you got a total here of 45, which suggests to me that Virginia probably is the right side. If Duke's not going to score, then I think it's going to be tough for them here in this spot, because all they've done is score in their last five games. So, you know, with a very low total here on this one, probably suggests that Virginia is the right side in that game. We move on to game 323-324 here. Army and Georgia State. Surprising loss last week for Army against Western Kentucky. Now they're back out on the road in Atlanta. This line's kind of all over the place, but for the most part here, 6 or 6.5, now the consensus number, up from 5, total 56.5.
Yeah, I mean, it's a tough one. Obviously, Army's nowhere near as good as what they've been, at least last year. I got it right around 5.5, so I'm not going to have a bet here. I mean, my gut instinct says after back-to-back losses, Army's the right side, but a little bit worried. I mean, they've been pushed around the last couple of weeks. Their offense hasn't got it going. I mean, Western Kentucky shut that option down last week. Western Kentucky, ladies and gentlemen, has a legit defense this year. Georgia State, Army's opponent this week, I think has a legit offense. I mean, especially running the football. I mean, they put up 350 on the ground last week against Coastal Carolina. That's coming off the heels where I think they put up almost 700 yards of offense against Arkansas State a couple weeks ago. Georgia State's a legit team, and I think the line's about right here. I want to back Army and say they get a bounce back win, but I'm not sure it's going to be easy against this Georgia State team.
Yeah, and the funny thing is, I mean, I look at my line coming into the season for this game, and it was almost like 20. I mean, these two teams are really in different directions here. Georgia State, as you mentioned, offensively pretty good. We'll see how their defense winds up faring here against the option. But Army, not what we expected. And also, too, if Army's not going to be as efficient on offense, this is where the loss of Jay Bateman really comes into play. Defensive coordinator now at North Carolina. I thought that was a problem for them coming into the season. And again, here, if you're looking at a high-scoring type of game, which a total in the mid to upper 50s is very high for an option game, then I think that you're pretty concerned here about Army in this spot. My number's 5. I'm not going to play it, but an interesting spot for Army here, to be sure. How about game 327-328, Indiana and Maryland? Indiana, 5.5-point favorite, heading east to College Park. Total up from 56.5 to 59 out there in the marketplace. Maryland, a team I just don't have a great pulse on.
Well, I don't even know if their head coach has a good pulse on it. I mean, they're so up and down, and obviously all that good feeling from the first 2 weeks, the blowout wins over Howard and Syracuse, that's long gone at this point. You know, pure power rating for me has it like more Indiana 3.5 here. So, you know, my power ratings are saying Maryland's the play, but again, you know, what's my confidence level in Maryland? I got really good data points. I got really bad ones, including last week getting crushed by Purdue. I want to like, you know, I want to believe in Indiana, but, I mean, the reality is I'm just not a huge fan of their head coach, Tom Allen. I think he's more of a defensive coordinator than a head coach. I do like that he made the decision to go to Michael Penix, who I just think has higher upside than a guy like a Peyton Ramsey. I think it's a big game for bowl aspirations for both teams. Even though the power ratings call Maryland the side here, I'm passing.
Yeah, I mean, now that Pigram's been named the starter again here for this week, I've got this one in the 4, 4.5 range myself. So I think you and I are kind of feeling the same way here about Maryland. And this is also a spot now where I just don't know if Loxley can make any improvements with this team. Again, quarterback injuries, they have that year in and year out. I think Indiana is improving, but I agree with the skepticism about them. So an easy stay-away game there, but one I did want to get some thoughts on here this week on the show. And quite frankly, it kept me from talking about it by myself after our segment. So figured it was a good game to get out of the way. Game 331-332, Florida State and Wake Forest. Wake Forest favored across the board here, 1.5 to 2, pretty much the number. There were some 2.5s early on in the week, total of 68.5 here. Are you surprised to see this line coming down a little bit?
Yeah, I mean, a little bit. I mean, looking at it, I mean, this is tough because it's like pulling teeth in this segment a little. I mean, I knew I'd have a discrepancy here because, you know, I've been a little bit higher on Florida State in the marketplace, and I've been a little bit lower on Wake Forest. So, you know, a little bit surprised that there's some under money coming in here. I think both teams running pace and tempo, and just go back to Wake Forest's game from last week against Louisville. I mean, if you want to see a final, so I'm a little, you know, surprised by that. But when it comes to the side, Florida, I mean, Florida State's clearly the play in my power rankings. I mean, wrong team favorite. I got Florida State by two here. You know, the intriguing thing to me is, you know, there's now some expectations for Wake Forest. They've played the Noles 27 times since Florida State joined the ACC back in 1992. The average line in those 27 meetings, Florida State minus 24. And Wake, so this is only the second time in 27 meetings they've been favored. So power rankings say Florida State's the play here, but the reality is, I mean, come on, Willie Taggart versus Dave Clawson? Sounds like a mismatch to me.
Yeah, it does. I agree. Maybe some concerns about the status of Jamie Newman driving this line a little bit. I'm sure he'll play, but he's obviously not 100%. I mean, look, my line's 2.5
Hartman's
here for Wake.
Good at quarterback. I mean, yeah, he played a bunch last year. There's not Newman's obviously a higher upside. I think it should be, you know, a point to point and a half or so, but it's nothing significant.
No, I completely agree. And in fact, there were some questions as to whether or not Hartman would just outright be the starting quarterback here this year. Yeah. Seems like going with Newman was the right call. I've got Wake Forest minus 2.5 here, but I got to say this. It's really hard for me to back a team that had 40 first downs last week, 40, and still lost the damn game.
Yeah.
I mean, and Dave Clawson is a defensive-minded guy by and large. I mean, that's brutal.
Yeah, he's kind of changed his tune a little bit here at Wake the last couple of years. I'll say this. I mean, I get why they won the box score last week. I mean, they were – if you followed that game, you know, the play-by-play, they were trailing a majority of that game by two touchdowns plus. So they were they had to throw from behind a majority of that game against Louisville. But still, I mean, incredible. I don't know if I've ever seen that. In a game that didn't go like 5, 6, 7 overtimes, just in regulation to have 40 first downs and lose, I can't recall ever seeing that before.
And props to Louisville and props to Scott Satterfield and the job that he's done. But I mean, they were on their third quarterback of the year already and managed to get 62 points against Wake Forest. So I can't really back that here this week. I think it should be a fun game. I think the over, I think I got 66 last week in Louisville and Wake Forest will be the easiest win I ever have in college football. I'd love to have one of those per week that I don't have to sweat. But, hey, I mean, you know, this is a game that could very well fly into the 70s, and it wouldn't surprise me at all. But not really strong opinions on the side here for this one. We like to talk about games that a lot of shows aren't going to talk about. Much to Brad's chagrin, quite possibly here, but game 333-334, Coastal Carolina and Georgia Southern. Interesting that the side has not dropped at all. It's still 6.5, pretty much market wide, and the total has come down about 5 points from the open, from 50.5 to 45.
Yeah, you think. I mean, suppressed scoring usually would mean that there'd at least be some correlation on the underdog. Tougher to get margin when the expectation is there's going to be one less nearly one less touchdown score in the game. So, that's very intriguing to say the least. Pure power rating for me says Georgia Southern's the play. I got it more like 7.5. And I did bet, I think, man, I'm trying to think what Circa opened. I want to say, I'll have to look through my portfolio this week, but I 2.5, 3, I think they opened in this one. Georgia Southern hasn't been impressive, though. I mean, they do come in off a bye. Coastal was upset last week. I mean, Coastal is the better team in yards per play, so that would concern me, although Georgia Southern obviously has played the much tougher schedule. Just a slight lean for me on the home team through, you know, a key number here, 7. When my power rings call that through a key number, I at least got to lean with it.
Yeah, I'm looking back here through Circa's Twitter timeline, and it did open 2.5, total 48.5 on this one. So they were closer on the total. The side definitely got knocked around a little bit. Great grab from you. You know, obviously CLV has kind of been up and down here so far this year in a lot of different ways, but an excellent grab there to get significant line value. I've got it lined at 6.5, and, you know, it's pretty much a game I'm probably just going to wind up staying away from. But again, very nice numbers grab from you there. And that's why we do the power ratings. Again, they're not the be-all, end-all, but if you can grab some good line value, they're certainly worth their weight in gold in that respect.
They are. That's why I wake up, you know, very early on Sunday morning because Circa, you know, releases those 11 a.m. on Sunday. So it's an early wake-up call on Sunday to make sure I got at least a jump start on a majority of my power ratings.
Yeah, but you don't sleep anyway. You're just a machine.
Yeah, I'm coming off a 40. I just broke my all-time record. I did 41 straight this week, 41 straight hours. Do not, kids, don't try that at home. I promise you.
I can't wait for the off season just so you can actually catch up a little bit on some sleep and get some kind of a break. Shit.
What off season, brother?
Yeah, that's a good point. All right, game 339-340 here. Tulsa and Cincinnati. Cincinnati actually taking money here. It seemed like 16 probably would have been good enough for this game, but now we're up as high as 17.5 out there in the market. And again, this is one that goes with a totals move coming down from 51 to as low as 47.5. So favorite going up, total coming down. I guess the question here is, do you think Tulsa can score?
Man, I got my concerns. You know, I was a lot more confident with Tulsa prior to last week's game against Navy. We talked about it on last week's show. Hey, tough handicap. It'd be interesting to see what the emotions of both teams. I mean, they came out, they looked okay early, and then just were completely worn down by Navy as that game went on. I agree with the line move here. I mean, my power rings are more like 18.5 on Cincinnati. I'm pretty big on Cincinnati this year. I just think, you know, a lot of people threw them in the trash because they lost 42-0 against the Buckeyes. Reality check, a lot of teams are going to be losing, but by that kind of disparity this year against the Buckeyes. You know, obviously Cincinnati controls their own destiny now in the American. I think they get a comfortable win, but it's about right to me. I mean, I put it at 17 as far as, my disparity line in my newsletter handicap. So it's a pass for me.
I've actually got it 14 here, which was closer to Circa number. The Circa number opened Cincinnati minus 13. So, I mean, at least I was close to the odds makers number. I wasn't close to the market number. You know, maybe I do have to downgrade Tulsa a little bit. Maybe I have to upgrade Cincinnati a little bit. Because as you said, Cincinnati has been playing really well here of late. And, you know, again, that Ohio State loss, it was kind of a marquee game. You know, Luke Fickell and all the narratives with that. A lot of teams are going to get their asses kicked by Ohio State here this year. A lot of teams already have. So, you know, maybe I'm just a little bit too low on the Bearcats here. But interesting to see that line shooting up and the total shooting down. And again, kind of tells you about what the expectation is for the game flow here. So if you're looking for maybe a live betting opportunity, certainly looks like Tulsa may have problems to score in this game. So that may be one of the ways that you want to look at it. Game 355-356, we take a big old jump down the board here. BYU hosting Boise State. Boise State a 7-point favorite here. Another total coming down. Thoughts on this one as you chuckle as I mentioned the game.
Yeah, and a tough handicap. I wish I could, like, come in. Hey, I love this pick, and I'm betting this won't be one of them. I mean, I'm closer to, like, 5.5 or so. I mean, obviously, we got some quarterback issues here. You know, Bachmeier, the true freshman for Boise State's had, you know, kind of an up-and-down season, but, I mean, relatively, I've been impressed. You know, it had, like, kind of a hit pointer last week. I mean, if you, read Harsin's quotes after the game, he said he was going to be fine moving forward. Obviously, BYU's already going to back up with Wilson out for them. They played a couple different quarterbacks last week. Probably should have won the game against South Florida. You dive in the box score, but, I mean, that was a bad loss. I mean, you look at what we thought of BYU coming out of maybe the SC game, and at that point, I mean, BYU had beaten Tennessee and USC in back-to-back weeks, and now after a blowout loss against Washington, and games, quite frankly, Kalani Sitake, you got to win. I know it's a tough place to play, and it was a bad spot for him. You got to win at Toledo. You got to win at South Florida, particularly off a bye there. I don't think it gets any easier here. I put my margin in my newsletter by 7, so not much value on Boise here.
I've actually got Boise minus 8 here in this one, so I guess maybe I've got a little bit of value. And, in fact, the circuit number opened 2.5, so I wish I could have jumped on that one. I was on BYU last week, and like you said, you know, they should have won the game. I had a massive overlay in that one. I think my line was 10. I think the market was, 4.5 on that one. But if Jaren Hall doesn't go out with a concussion, BYU probably wins that game and covers the number. He goes out. The backup, Romney, does not play particularly well in his, appearance there in that game. I'm really worried about that for BYU. The quarterback position is very concerning for them. So I like Boise here this week. I probably won't take it now that it's 7. at the 6.5, I liked it more. And at the 2.5 for Circa, I would have been happy to jump into the pool there. But, yeah, the BYU quarterback thing is a big-time problem. And it's always tough, too, because you wonder, you know, a guy like Zach Wilson, who obviously played very well at the end of last year, played pretty well early on in this season. We've got our idea of how much a guy like that's worth. And sometimes it just winds up being more than you thought.
It does. And I mean, I got a chance to see Hall at the end because Wilson, I mean, obviously, if you don't watch Wilson, Zach Wilson, BYU regular starter, I mean, he's got a Johnny Manziel flair to him. I mean, he's okay. He's better than okay. He's pretty good. But I didn't, what I thought was, you know, watching Hall at the end of the Toledo game, I'm thought, ooh, I think there could be some value here on BYU because he looked, you know, capable, being a capable. And I think, I thought the market probably would downgrade BYU a little too much. And that was the case in the disparity of my power ratings. But now, I mean, I don't even care if you're at Alabama. Forget BYU. If you're at Alabama and you're going to a third string guy, there's a lot of unknown. And, you know, sometimes the drop off from the first to second string can be quite sparse. But sometimes an even bigger drop up is when you get to that third guy. And that would be a major concern if you're looking to bet the Cougars this week.
Yeah, if I find out that Jaren Hall is not going to play, I may go ahead and take Boise State. But again, concussions, obviously we're not sure. No standardization of college injury reports. So we probably won't know until pretty close to game time. So kind of a
we're
going to
need these standardizations one of these days, buddy. Because
no, I know.
My goodness.
Integrity fees, right?
Yeah, exactly.
All right, how about game 361, 362 here? A little bit of a flipped favorite scenario. Toledo was a 1.5-point favorite. Ball State now a 1.5-point favorite. Again, interesting movement with the total here, down from 60.5 to as low as 57, which is at Pinnacle. So obviously the sharp side being the under here in this game. But got to ask, man, obviously you had a smile on your face with last week's game. How does Toledo bounce back from what happened last week?
Yeah, I'm not sure they do here. And I mean, theme of the segment, quarterback injuries. I mean, Guadagni, the regular guy, he was fine in the game. I mean, they weren't going to cover against Bowling Green, but they could have won if it was healthy. I mean, he was 17 out of 20 in that game, got hurt. And this line move saying he's probably more, instead of questionable, he's more doubtful. The backup quarterback, the regular backup, Eli Peters, ineffective. Carter Bradley had to come in. And those two guys combined for like 6 out of 15 for 66 yards. Just couldn't, I mean, we're just not capable at all. So, again, another quarterback injury concern. I mean, Ball State hasn't been overly impressive, but kudos. I mean, they pulled back-to-back weeks where they've, you know, trailed games by double digits and somehow found a way to win on the road against Northern Illinois and Eastern Michigan. I don't think there's a tremendous amount of value here, but I would lean with the Cardinals.
I don't think so either. But one thing I will say here, as you mentioned, you know, Ball State erasing some deficits. You know, this is a team that really threw the ball a lot early on in the year. Last week, the last 2 weeks, really, they've relied heavily on running the football. So they're kind of changing up their game plan a little bit. As bad as Ohio has been this year, if Ball State beats Toledo or does the same thing and comes from behind, there's got to be a fade spot coming up at some point. Maybe it's next.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
All right, so we move on from that game here. We go back into the Power 5 conferences here. And, I mean, this is a game that is probably the marquee game of the week, I guess I would say. 367, 368, Oregon and Washington. I guess maybe Michigan and Penn State, but Michigan can go to hell. Oregon's a 3-point favorite here in this one, total 49.5. I don't know what we're going to get from Washington this week, but if it's good enough, they're going to throw more chaos into the Pac-12.
Yeah, I mean, my number is 1, Oregon by 1. So I'd certainly lean Washington. I kind of was on the under here. And let me play this out for you. I mean, if you just look at both teams scoring offenses, you see that they're top 30, so perfectly capable. I think, generally speaking, when you think Oregon football last decade plus, you're thinking offense. Honestly, it's been the defense, especially last 5 games, where Oregon's allowed a combined 25 points. 5 games, 25 points. So Oregon's, it's probably the best Oregon defense statistically I've seen, at least in my adult life. But then you look at the two teams' offenses, especially when they face capable defenses. I mean, neither one's had that much success. Oregon against Auburn, 21 points. Against Stanford, 21. Against Cal, 17. Washington's offense against the 3 best defenses they've faced, 19 against Cal, 28 against SC, 13 against Stanford. I lean with Washington, but I really like the under here.
I think that makes a whole lot of sense. You look at an Oregon team here, top five in yards per play allowed. Actually, the three teams ahead of them, Wisconsin, Ohio State, and Penn State. Clemson's number five. So Oregon's played very, very well defensively. And we would expect Washington to be good defensively, despite some of the losses that they've had a lot of attrition to the NFL draft here, especially in the secondary over the last couple of years. So that is something that has kind of impacted them a little bit. The thing about it is this, and there are a lot of teams like this, and it's kind of crazy to see this in week eight. Oregon really hasn't been tested all that much the last five games. They lose that game to Auburn, a game that they probably should have won in the opener. Nevada's not very good. Montana's a capable FCS team, but they're just outgunned by Oregon. Stanford, they're not very good despite the win over Washington. Cal's a pretty good team, and as you mentioned, Oregon scored 17 points in that game. And then Colorado kind of sucks. So Oregon's really getting a test for the first time in a while here. And again, that's the problem with some good teams, some really bad teams, and then a lot of inconsistency in the middle. Some weeks we go into these games and we just don't know what a team's going to do.
Yeah, I mean, when you haven't been tested for 4 or 5 weeks at a time, I mean, it's certainly a lot of uncertainty. But, you know, I'll be honest, sometimes I like it. If you can price the uncertainty accordingly, you can have some of your easiest winners. But, I think it's at least the most intriguing game of the weekend from a competitive aspect.
I think so, too. And obviously the forecast not looking great in Seattle here this week. So maybe that leads you a little bit more towards the under. And, you know, keep that in mind here, too. Now that we're in the month of October, we're going to start seeing snow in the Mountain West and in some of these other places. Wind is going to be a tremendous factor. Pay attention to those weather forecasts. Try to get out in front of those totals moves. They should definitely help you as we go throughout the rest of the season here. How about game 369-370, Arizona and USC? USC up to a 10-point favorite now at some of the squarer shops. Still 9.5, some extra juice at some of the others, which I don't get the extra juice on 9.5, but whatever. Anyway, total up to 67 here. How about your thoughts on this game?
I agree with the move. I got like 11.5. I mean, I came away impressed with SC. I mean, you're down 20-3. You're on the road. It's at night in South Bend. I mean, you're getting worked over pretty good at that point, but they kept battling. And Keaton Slovis is certainly an upgrade over Matt Fink. I know Fink had the great performance against Utah, but yeah, I came away impressed. I mean, SC legitimately has a top 3 or 4 wide receiver unit in the country. I mean, they can throw 3 or 4 guys at you. That's about just about as good as anybody not named Alabama or Clemson from the wide receiver position. We talk about another theme of the segment here, up and down. Arizona's up and down. I mean, ready to throw that entire team in the trash after the Hawaii game in week zero. Then they come back, four good performances for them, or at least 4 wins. And then, you know, are actually beating Washington at halftime. I know it was really late on the East Coast, but they were beating Washington. And then they go ahead and get outscored 38-10 in the second half of that one. I'll lay 9.5, but I think 10's a pretty solid number.
When you look at this game here, USC, according to Sagarin's, faced the number 4 schedule in the country. And this is a team that, 3-3 is disappointing, especially for a program the stature of USC. Lost in what? Double overtime to BYU by 3. Lost to Notre Dame by 3 last week. Lost at Washington by 2 touchdowns in a game that, things just kind of didn't work out in their favor, but that was a Matt Fink game there, and they outgained Washington by 2 yards. They were just -2 in turnovers. So I think USC's body of work is much more impressive than they're being given credit for. Finally, for the first time on today's show, you and I have a line in the same place at 11.5. If you get a stray 9.5 back on this game or want to take one of them that's out there now, I kind of like USC. This sort of feels to me like a spot where USC comes away with a little bit of a laugher for a win. Maybe it doesn't work out that way, but I do kind of like the Trojans here based on the handicap that I'm seeing for this one. How about game 373? Or go ahead.
No, I agree with you.
All right, we'll go to game 373, 374, and guess what? We've got quarterback questions again. Again, theme of the show here. But to see this number coming down a little bit, Bookmaker 4.5, Pinnacle 5, with Florida a road favorite at Williams-Brice against South Carolina. I talked about this spot last week. I talked about how I really liked South Carolina, not just to cover the number, but win the game outright. Then they go and beat Georgia and screw it all up for me. Man, I don't know what to do with this week's game. I have no idea.
I like Florida. I think the market has upgraded South Carolina too much from last week. I get it. I mean, I guess it could be a flat spot for Florida off the Auburn LSU games. But, I mean, they got a bye on deck. And to me, you can't lose to South Carolina at this point. I mean, because South Carolina's already had the tiebreaker over Georgia. They get the tiebreaker over Florida. My goodness, I guess that's a high motivating factor for the Gamecocks here. You know, is Ryan Helinski for South Carolina going to be 100%? Because, I mean, the way that injury looked and the way he was limping around last week, I thought he was going to be out for the season. Didn't you watch that the Georgia game?
I thought it was an ACL. I thought it was an ACL for sure.
So, I mean, I'm not a doctor or anything, but, I mean, you're facing a Florida pass rush that should be licking their chops, especially after they were shut down last week against LSU. I came away – look, I cashed a ticket against Florida last week by half a point. I shouldn't have cashed that ticket. I came away impressed. I mean, Dan Mullen's an elite play caller, and Kyle Trask just looked the part. That's his first road start, Death Valley at night, marching the team up and down the field. I like the Gators here. I think five's cheap, although it's a concern. I mean, it's a square pick, I think, on my behalf, but I'll be more than happy to lay the five here. I thought the number would come a full seven.
I got this one six, and I'm not touching South Carolina. It would be Florida or nothing for me. Again, Ryan Helinski, yeah, he may start the game, but God knows if he finishes it. And Dekarion Joyner, I mean, you know, he didn't turn the football over. He took care of it, but South Carolina's offense looks much, much different with him. I think the under does make a little bit of sense here with the quarterback uncertainty for South Carolina. But also, you know, South Carolina's defense played really, really well last week and was on the field a ton. I don't know if they can bail the Gamecocks out this week as much as they did last week. So lean Florida. I don't know if I'm going to play it. If this line does keep coming down, maybe there's a chance that I do. But the only way I can play this game is to take a look at the Florida side. How about game 383, 384? Southern Miss and Louisiana Tech. You and I were both on Southern Miss last week. Didn't understand that line or the move. Came away with a nice winner there. Southern Miss, a point or a point and a half favorite going down to Ruston. Another total coming down a little bit, too. What do you think about this one?
Yeah, I've been higher on my power rankings on Southern Miss in the marketplace, at least most weeks. I've bet on them a few times, but I think wrong team favorite. I got a lot of Tech here, minus one. And I like Florida quite a bit, just for those listening. So that's kind of a bet for me, best bet. And here's another kind of a best bet for me on La Tech. I mean, I think they should be well rested. They're off a bye and a blowout win over UMass, so they had to be pointing towards this game. They should be because, I mean, look, the last couple of years, I bet Louisiana Tech, last time these two teams played here, it's one of my worst beats ever. I think there's like 90 seconds left in the game. La Tech's like pick them. Or minus one or two or something like that. I mean, but they're up 11 with like 90 seconds left. Southern Miss scores a touchdown, gets the two-point conversion, then recovers the onside kick and kicks a field goal and ends up winning it in overtime. And then on top of that, La Tech lost to Southern Miss by one last year. So revenge spot for Louisiana Tech. And then I just look at, you know, the statistically, I mean, yards per game, La Tech's better. Points per game differential, La Tech's better. You look at yards per play, you know, differential, La Tech's better. I get it. They played the softer schedule, but at home catching a point, yeah, give me the Bulldogs here.
I got this one, Southern Miss minus 2.5, but I can't disagree with anything that you've said here, especially with the spot for La Tech, double revenge and also, you know, very well rested. Ruston's a pretty tough place to play. I think what you said there makes a whole lot of sense. I'm not sure I'll take Louisiana Tech, but I certainly won't be against them, so I'll be rooting for you here in that one. One more game I do want to touch on, just because I think it's fascinating, and then we'll spend a few minutes on the NFL. You've got Tulane and Memphis. Memphis, a four-point favorite, total up to 59.5 here. Tulane is such a barking dog in a lot of their games in this type of range. This is a hard handicap, but something tells me Tulane's the right side. What do you think?
Oh, I mean, my power ratings, like they are usually most weeks, are a little strong on Memphis here. I got it closer to 6.5. You know, I bet against, though, Memphis last week with Temple. Even though Temple won the game outright, I felt pretty fortunate because Memphis, you know, three turnovers on three straight possessions in the first half. It kind of did them in there, and they almost came back and won anyways. Tough handicap. I mean, both teams have played similar schedules in terms of strength. Both teams in the top 20 yards per play differential. I'm passing.
I'm going to pass too, but by the way, you and I both on the same number there. I got Memphis minus 6.5 too. So, not going to dive in on that one, but at least I know that my power rating is probably in pretty good shape there based on what you've got for that game. All right, let's move over to the NFL side here, and let's start with a look at the Packers and the Raiders. Raiders coming off the London game, coming off the bye. Green Bay, short week, off the Detroit Monday night game. I agree with the line move here, down from 7.5 to 5.5, but I don't know if I can take either one of these sides at this point.
I'll take Green Bay. What the hell? I mean, the line move against me worries me because it moved against me against Detroit last week. But look, shouldn't have covered, or should they? I mean, the Packers, I get it. All the officiating at the end, certainly were fortunate for them. But here's what I look at. Green Bay was -3 in turnovers last week. -3. You know how many times teams in the NFL that are -3, how often they just win the game? 10%. 10% of the time is what they win when they're -3 in turnovers. I think the market downgraded them a little too much. Now, I haven't had a great handle on Oakland. Kudos to John Gruden doing a great job. They're off a bye. But there's a lot of distractions with their tackle, Trent Brown, in the news this week. I'll go with the Packers here. You're laying under a touchdown. I'll give them one more flyer here.
I think it's tough. I give John Gruden a lot of respect, much like you do. And I think with the bye, he can have this team very well prepared. But Green Bay is just the better team here, too. And you know, Green Bay, again, something we talked about on Monday's show, Green Bay, a very, very good first quarter team. They've been extremely good in the first quarter most of the year. If Oakland has to play from behind, how much does that impact them? How much does that hurt their game plan? Because we saw it against Minnesota when they had to play from behind, and it did not go well for them at all. So no, I guess that's really the big story there in that game. Here's another tough one, but I like talking about the tough ones with you. 461-462, Jacksonville and Cincinnati. Jacksonville, a 3.5-point favorite here. Minshew mania has been tempered a little bit here of late, but my God, Cincinnati is not good.
They're not, but, you know, their final scores look respectable. I mean, I get it that they haven't won, but they've been close. But, I mean, you got to go through these games. I mean, their offense hasn't scored a touchdown in the first three quarters of three straight games. Three games, haven't scored an offensive touchdown in the first three quarters, three straight games. Now they're getting the back door on teams, including last week, but, I mean, they got outgained by 250 yards last week and somehow covered against Baltimore. Kudos for them, but I think Jacksonville, I mean, this is why sometimes it's more art than science. You could say, hey, Jalen Ramsey gone, that, you know, now you don't have that distraction in the locker room. Or you could take it and say, hey, the fact that they traded Ramsey says, the season's over. We're building more towards the future. So wherever you land on that might be where you land on the game. I just have a small lean on the Jags here.
All right, Sunday Night Football, Philadelphia and Dallas, 3, still the number out there, but the public shops are 3-125, 3-130. The more reputable shops out there, 3-120. So maybe we got to move to 2.5 here coming shortly with Dallas at home on Sunday Night Football.
You probably do. The Westgate Super Contest line has it 2.5, and they're pretty good at predicting where the line's going to move. There's way too many injury issues here for me to get involved. I mean, you got a total of 10 starters on these two teams, 5 on both Dallas and Philadelphia that are questionable. And, you know, multiple guys on Dallas's offensive line and multiple guys at wide receiver for them. Obviously the cornerback issue, injury issues for Philadelphia continue here. Way too many question marks for me in a game that should be very interesting. I mean, both teams need it like blood. To me, if it comes down to it, I just trust Doug Peterson and company more than I do Jason Garrett. So I'd lean with the Eagles.
All right, I guess I gave you 3 real tough games in the NFL. Is there a game you like, or, you know, maybe tonight's game? Anything you're looking at?
You know what? I like this one's kind of like off the radar a little bit. I like the Giants. Okay. You know, laying 3 against the Cardinals, to me, that sounds about right. I mean, I'd lean Giants, but the fact that Saquon Barkley is likely to return, Evan Ingram's likely to return. I mean, I get it. Arizona's won a couple of games, but who in the hell did they play? They played Atlanta and Cincinnati, and both were coin flips. I mean, if the Giants get Barkley back and Ingram back, aren't they the better team? And yet they're only laying 3. And it's, I mean, obviously Arizona's traveling across the country and the dreaded 10 a.m. Pacific start time. don't get it, man. I get it. Daniel Jones has struggled the last couple games, but he hasn't had any weapons around him, and he's played Minnesota and New England. Most quarterbacks are going to struggle. I really like the Giants a lot. I haven't seen too many people really give them out. Brad Powers is, though.
All right, I like it. Brad Powers, professional handicapper over at bradpowerssports.com. What's the story over there right now, man?
Yeah, I just talk about it each week. It's my newsletter. I mean, I have every single game in there, right up college, right up pro. I mean, don't buy it for the picks, so buy it for the information. I mean, you're talking misleading finals, bad beats, major injuries, all kinds of different stats and whatnot in there, and then all the write-ups. But if you are a picks guy, and I get it, most of you guys are listening, 58% this year. That's college, NFL combined. You get 5 college picks a week, 3 NFL, 58% combined this year, and 58% over 5 years. We're talking a 700-game sample size. It's not too shabby. I wish I can pass post and bet a little bit more on my picks the last 5 years. Probably wouldn't be talking to Adam Burke at this point, but check it out. It's at bradpowersports.com. It's called the Powers Picks Newsletter.
Definitely make sure you check that out. And, of course, as always, follow Brad on Twitter, at Brad Powers and the number 7. Brad, appreciate your time as always, brother. Thank you so much for joining me, man. Try your best to get some rest. We'll talk to you again next week.
Sounds good, my friend. Take care.
All right, there you go. There's professional handicapper Brad Powers from bradpowersports.com. Again, at Brad Powers and the number 7 on Twitter. All right, we'll roll through here with some of the games that we didn't get to with our previous segments here as I finish up this Thursday edition of the show. And, of course, as you know, on Friday, Westgate Super Contest Selection segment for Week 7 and Brent with the odds report from DSI Sportsbook. So no other time to talk college here on the show, at least not break down some of these games. So I'll do it here to finish up the program. Thursday night, couple of games here that we've talked about already, but I'll just refresh your memory on them. 305, 306, Louisiana and Arkansas State. Do like Arkansas State a little bit here in this game. Obviously very, very worried about their defense or lack thereof, I guess I should say. My line on this game, though, is 4.5, so I do kind of like Arkansas State a little bit. If we get up and touch 7, now, of course, the problem being that we touched 17 yesterday for South Alabama and Troy. I took South Alabama in that one. Wrong side, to some degree, maybe a little bit of a bad beat, especially if you got the 17.5. But, tonight's game, I think maybe Arkansas State keeps it a little bit more respectable. But again, obviously some big-time concerns with them. UCLA and Stanford game we talked about on yesterday's show with Wes Reynolds. Davis Mills not going to play for Stanford. They're down to a third-string quarterback. Hence the move down here to 3.5. Even some threes popping up out there in the marketplace. Not a game that I have a whole lot of interest in here for this Week 8 card. Georgia Tech and Miami as we move ahead to Saturday here. Miami an 18 or an 18.5 point favorite. Total of 45 in this one. On Georgia Tech last week, their defense is just, it's not good. They give up a lot of big plays. They can't get off the field. Their special teams aren't particularly strong. Not a whole lot to like about Georgia Tech, but Miami's special teams are absolutely terrible. So maybe Georgia Tech here, a little bit of an opportunity to keep this game close. My number on this game here this week is Miami minus 19. So pretty much in line with the market, pretty much in line with where the openers were for that game. But I just don't have any interest in playing Miami here. It would be Georgia Tech or nothing for me, especially if you're in an ATS pool or something like that, where you've got that type of game. Again, Georgia Tech or nothing for me, especially get some correlation there with the low total, the high spread. Got to look a little bit at the Georgia Tech side for those reasons. But again, not a game that really jumps off the page too much to me. Buffalo and Akron, 325, 326 here in the Rubber City. Buffalo opened an 18-point favorite, line down to 17.5 now. And the only way I could go in this game is to take the Akron side. My number 16.5 here, so not that far off from the market, especially when you start talking about the lack of key numbers up there in double digits. But look, is Akron awful? Yes. Akron is one of the worst teams in college football. They're 129th in my power ratings. They're 129th in a lot of people's power ratings. But this Buffalo team here, it's not like they're particularly good. They're running the football a ton, 103rd in yards per play on offense with 5.12. Their special teams are a complete and utter dumpster fire. They've got a backup quarterback punting for them who, by the way, is questionable here this week. And this Buffalo team, they don't stand out really in any particular way. Now, Akron is not good. I get it. I fully understand that. But you would think, coming off of the embarrassment of losing the wagon wheel game at home as badly as the Zips did, you got to think they wake up a little bit for this game. I think they're going to be in it. I hope they cover the number. I would take Akron plus 17.5 as I go through the card. Maybe this is a game that I do potentially wind up being on. But, you know, again, obviously a very tough bet to make. But like Brian Leonard talked about on yesterday's show, some of these historically bad teams, these really, really awful teams from a power rating standpoint, and Brad just mentioned it in the previous segment, you know, UMass, Akron, UConn, teams like that, power rated as low as anybody ever in his power ratings doing this for over a decade. There's probably some inflation in some of these numbers here. Again, my line was 16.5, Akron's plus 17.5. I would take the Zips here if I had to. And again, maybe a game that I do wind up taking a look at. Also, too, again, you got a total of 48. You got a Buffalo team that runs the football about, you know, 65, 70% of the time. They've got some quarterback injury considerations as well. Low total of 48. How many points does Akron need to score to cover the number in this game? That's the question you ask. And if you think that they can get there, then Akron is the side. And I do think there's a chance that they are able to do that. Same thing here. Houston and UConn. Early kickoff, Houston, you know, rumored to go with a wide receiver at quarterback last week. Then Clayton Tune winds up playing. Now Clayton Tune on the injury report. They're laying 22 without really having a quarterback against UConn. And I get it. UConn is not a good team. But once again, total coming down with a big number, UConn would have to be the side for me. And it's a very tough bet to make for very obvious reasons. But my number here is 18. So do like UConn a little bit. Won't use it in the Golden Nugget or anything like that. But again, another big dog here that I think has the opportunity to keep the game relatively close. Game 335-336, Central Michigan and Bowling Green. Central Michigan up to a 10.5-point favorite here. Total of 53 or so for this game at Bowling Green. And look, is it a fluke that Bowling Green beat Toledo last week? Maybe. Anytime you get a 26-point favorite or 26-point underdog that wins outright, yeah, it can probably be termed fluky. But Bowling Green's offense, and Brad Powers nailed this last week on the show, Bowling Green's offense looked better against Notre Dame. Grant Loy seems to be the guy, dual threat type of dude. They're moving the football a little bit here. Central Michigan has moved the football a lot in some of their victories. Jim McElwain obviously doing some pretty good things there with that Chippewas bunch. They're up to 76th in yards per play with 5.73. When they've played conference games, 7.24 yards per play for Central Michigan here against MAC competition. Look, Bowling Green's defense is not completely awful. It's not particularly good either. 6.83 yards per play allowed. Now, when they have played conference games, they're at 6.6. So they've played a little bit better in terms of a yards per play standpoint against conference competition. But I don't understand why this line is coming down from a total standpoint. You got a Central Michigan offense that's really starting to fire. I don't think they have David Moore. I haven't looked at any update on his appeal for popping a positive test for a PED. But Quentin Dormady is a transfer from Tennessee anyway. Central Michigan's got some pretty good running backs. And this Bowling Green offense seems to be coming together a little bit here as well. So I would lean with the Bowling Green side because I do think that they are an improved team to be certain. But I would also look at the over here. Of over 53, that's the lowest number out there in the marketplace right now. You know, the weather's not going to be too significant of a factor, I don't think. I don't see a whole lot of wind. It's going to be 65 degrees and sunny. Give me the over here in this Central Michigan Bowling Green game, 335-336. Again, I believe in what Bowling Green is doing offensively, and Jim McElwain's doing a very good job with that Central Michigan offense. So this is actually one of my stronger plays that you're going to hear on this segment. Bowling Green and Central Michigan over 53, like the 53.5. Obviously, you don't want to take a 54 if you don't have to because it's somewhat of a key number as far as totals go. But I do think over 53 here does have a little bit of run with that 2 o'clock kickoff in Western Ohio. East Carolina and UCF, a game we haven't talked about yet. UCF, a 33-point favorite, total of 62.5. One of the rare totals moving up here for this week, and you can certainly understand why that would be the case. With UCF involved, top 10 in yards per play, 7 yards per play here. They should move the football on East Carolina. And You know, when you look at this game here, when you kind of try to focus in on it a little bit more, the UCF side, just even though it's a big number, it just seems to be the right side here. You know, they finally had a chance to catch their breath a little bit off that game against Cincinnati, a game that they should have won. I mean, that's a game where UCF outgained Cincinnati by 80 yards. They had 10 more first downs. They were just -3 in turnover margin. Dylan Gabriel had a rough first half. He winds up throwing 3 interceptions in that game. I guess a get right spot for UCF. I get to circle the wagon spot for UCF. I do like them here laying that substantial number against East Carolina. My number on this game is only 28.5, so maybe there is a little bit of inflation there, but the only way I would look is UCF in that one. 341, 342, NC State and Boston College. NC State up from 2 to 3.5. Anthony Brown not going to play for Boston College. That's primarily the reason why this line has gone up a little bit. I don't have too strong of an opinion on this game. My line is NC State -2.5. Hard to trust the Wolfpack with what they've done, but with the change to Bailey Hockman, they have taken a little bit of money in their last two games here. So maybe the quant crowd, maybe the crowd that kind of is into recruiting and stuff like that, maybe they do like Hockman a little bit more than McKay and the other guys that NC State has on the roster. So line moving a little bit here, largely because of the Brown injury, but maybe some higher thoughts on Hockman. Again, not a game I'm going to play, but just sort of walking you through why that line did move around a little bit. Purdue and Iowa here, game 343, 344. It's been Iowa money here, up from 16.5 to 17.5 or 18. And I think this is a tough one. I got Iowa -20.5, but Iowa coming off of two very tough losses to take. The loss to Michigan, the loss to Penn State. They were the right side in that Penn State game. Condolences to anybody like me who had Iowa 4, 4.5, even the 5s that pushed out there. Again, my line's 20.5, and maybe I haven't given Purdue enough respect for how Jack Plummer looked in that game against Maryland, but this is such a tough handicap. Is Iowa going to let out some frustration? Iowa's not a team capable of creating a whole lot of margin. And you've got a game here where the total, again, has come down 2.5 or 3 points, and the big favorite price has gone up. So the expectation here, certainly from what we're looking at in the market, is that Purdue's not going to score. Well, if Purdue doesn't score, yeah, Iowa can cover the number. If Purdue gets into the 20s or something like that, and this game goes over the total, I'd be very worried about Iowa's ability to cover. So, again, you've got the correlation here in the sense that total coming down, Iowa line going up, game flow suggests that Purdue going to have some offensive problems. I don't know if that's going to be the case here. So, no play for me, but it is interesting to see both the side and the total and the directions in which they're going. Texas, a 21-point favorite over Kansas. How do they bounce back from a difficult beat in the Red River shootout game? And keep in mind here, too, Texas was badly outplayed in the first half. They didn't deserve to cover that number. They got badly outgained for the game. Will they play well here against Kansas? I think it's a possibility. They're not really, and we know Tom Herman's not really known as a guy to go out there and run it up in a favorite role. Not a game I'm going to have interest in. Total going up a little bit, side coming down from 24. Not a game that's on my radar here for this weekend. It is interesting to see Wisconsin and Illinois with that line going up a little bit from 28.5 to 31, 31.5 in the marketplace. Again, low total here given the spread with the total of 50.5. Wisconsin with Ohio State on deck. They're not going to risk Jack Cohn. They're not going to risk Jonathan Taylor. Do they just break Illinois' spirit in the first half? That could very much be a possibility. It's not really a game that I have too much interest in, but again, to see Wisconsin as a growing favorite in a look-ahead spot is pretty telling to me for a variety of different reasons. Nevada and Utah State. Utah State, 21-point favorite here. Another total coming down with a big favorite from 61.5 to 59. Utah State's really become kind of an afterthought. I mean, when you look at the gaudy numbers that they put up last year, seemed like they would get a little bit more run as a group of five team. But already with the two losses, destroyed by LSU in that game a couple of weeks ago. But Utah State off a bye, first-year head coach. Nevada has not been particularly efficient on either side of the ball here. They're very, very lucky to be a 4-2 team at this point in time. They've been blown out twice. They had that win over Purdue before all of Purdue's injuries with a big fourth-quarter comeback. beat Weber State, beat UTEP, who's one of the worst teams in college football, and the win last week over San Jose State. You know, San Jose State just couldn't get a stop when they needed one. Nevada played very well in the first half with San Jose State in a little bit of a difficult situational spot. So I don't really know what the play is here in this game, but I would probably lean with Utah State off the bye with that first-year head coach. You've got to think that they make some improvements. My number right there at 20, so I don't really have too strong of an opinion from a power rating standpoint, but Malik Henry, road start, you know, you obviously have to see what the conditions look like in Utah here at this time of the year. I think it's a pretty difficult spot for Malik Henry to go out on the road against a very good Utah State team. So it'd be Utah State or nothing for me there in that one. New Mexico and Wyoming, another one. Big favorite, total coming down. Wyoming, a 19.5-point favorite, total down from 54 to 48.5, one of the biggest totals movers of the week. If you can lay 19.5 with Wyoming, God bless you. I can't do it. Wyoming's had some misleading wins this year. They're not a good offensive team. New Mexico's awful. They have a lame duck head coach, I think, in Bob Davey. Not a whole lot of thoughts on this game for me. Just, again, interesting to see the sheer number of big favorites here with totals coming down, especially the range in which the totals are coming down, with this one really dropping in a big way. And also the game right below that on the board, a game we've already talked about this week, Arizona State and Utah. Utah still 13.5-point favorite. Another totals move down of 4 points in that game, from 49.5 to 45.5. Oregon State and Cal. Cal an 11-point favorite here, total of 51.5. And things kind of got back to reality a little bit for Oregon State here last week, getting decimated by Utah at home. I wound up taking Oregon State plus the 15.5, thought that, you know, maybe their offensive upgrades were legit. Just turns out that they hadn't really played anybody all that well over the last few weeks. And, you know, they do struggle mightily in that game against Utah. How do they move the football here against Cal? Oregon State, 38th in the country in yards per play with 6.24. Can they move it on a Cal defense that ranks, you know, very well here defensively in the season, just 5.01 yards per play allowed? Because we know Cal's not going to score much. If Oregon State can move the football, they can cover the number here. If they can't move the football, Cal can win this game, you know, 21-10, 24-10, something like that. Probably the game falls right around the number. So I think Oregon State has more upside from an ATS standpoint because I see more paths for them to cover, but not a game that I'm probably going to have too much interest in here for this week. As far as my number goes, I do have Cal minus 8.5. So some line value on Oregon State, though maybe I just bought too much into the upgrades that they made when they were playing against a little bit of a weaker schedule. Georgia's a 25-point favorite against Kentucky. Maybe a bounce-back role for Georgia. Kentucky, of course, going with a wide receiver and Lynn Bowden at quarterback. Played very well, a dual-threat type of guy. How does Georgia fare here in this spot? Off the South Carolina loss at home, by next week, then Florida on deck. Georgia has no margin for error now from a college football playoff standpoint. They will have to run the table, and that includes beating either Alabama or LSU in the SEC championship game. So do they play like a team with no margin for error, or do they play like kind of a defeated team that looks at how long the odds are to make the college football playoff now? I think it's a tough game to figure out because you've got to try and figure out what Georgia's mindset is, and I'm not entirely sure I could do that here in this spot. If I had to do anything, again, big spread, low total, points at a premium, would lean Kentucky, but not a game I'm going to have on my card. LSU, Mississippi State. LSU taking money again, up from 17.5 to 18.5, total 61 here. Very hard to step in front of LSU, no matter how difficult the spot is. My line's 17.5 here. I'm not particularly high on Mississippi State. I don't like what Joe Moorhead has done with the team this year. I like that he's going with Garrett Schrader now as the quarterback, but they can't go toe-to-toe with LSU's offense. If they're asked to do that, as the total implies here, LSU should be able to come away with this victory and do so in comfortable fashion. But again, not a game I have too strong of an opinion on. Alabama laying 34.5 against Tennessee. No thoughts on that game for me. Alabama can cover if they want. Do they want to? I don't know. Tennessee, big win last week. You know, Jeremy Pruitt got passed over for that Mississippi State job, but for Joe Moorhead, goes to Tennessee anyway. That's a game that he really wanted last week. It played out that way. I'm not sure how this game plays out here for this week. UAB laying a big number against Old Dominion. Once again, big spread going up, total coming down. Implication that Old Dominion's not going to score. If you think Old Dominion can score a little bit, then they're your side in this game. If you don't think that they can, UAB would be your side then in that one. Oklahoma's laying a huge number against West Virginia, 33.5. I liked West Virginia last week. I've liked West Virginia a few times this season, and they haven't really reciprocated the love. I can't really take them here in this spot. Oklahoma can hang a number if they really want to. Auburn, big favorite at Arkansas. Not in love with Auburn laying big road numbers here with how Bo Nix has played in some of the tougher environments that he's been in. I would have to look Arkansas here, and I don't love it necessarily, but an 11 a.m. kickoff, early start time. Can Auburn get going? I don't really know. My line on this game is 19, so I'm right there in line with the market, but Arkansas may be the side for me here. I have to break this matchup down a little bit more, but could be a game that I kind of have some interest in. Texas A&M and Ole Miss. A&M, a 6.5-point road favorite here against Ole Miss. Total in this one, 55.5. No strong opinion from me. I don't think Ole Miss is a very good team. They're trying to do a quarterback timeshare. That doesn't really work. A&M's been disappointing, though, too, so I can't lay a road number with them. My line on the game here was A&M minus 4.5, but I'm not going to have any interest in that one. 397, 398, North Carolina, Virginia Tech. Like North Carolina a little bit here as a 3-point favorite in this game. Total on this one of 57. Again, higher scoring games just don't pair themselves well with this Virginia Tech offense. Ryan Willis has not been particularly good. Josh Jackson wasn't great last year. For North Carolina here, I think the bye came at a good time. You get a get-right victory over Georgia Tech after three very tough games. You play five single-digit games, six or fewer points over the first five games of the season. That bye came at a really, really good time for them. They do have the rivalry game against Duke on deck, but I like North Carolina here in this one, minus the 3.5. Again, first-year head coach, couple first-year coordinators, chance to catch your breath, chance to get back on track. I like North Carolina quite a bit here in this game. My line on that one is only North Carolina minus 2. But again, based on the spot, based on the direction of the two programs, give me North Carolina here minus the 3.5. Also some extra juice threes still out there in the marketplace. We mentioned UL, Monroe, and Appalachian State a little bit earlier on in the week. Maybe Monroe, a side that we do like a little bit. Charlotte and Western Kentucky, I think it's a tough game. I have a big power ratings overlay on Charlotte, and this line has come down from 10.5 to 9 or 9.5. I've got Charlotte like 4.5 in this game, so I do like them at the 10, at the 9.5, but again, not a game that's going to draw a whole lot of interest, and maybe I just don't have Western Kentucky power rated accurately. I haven't had them power rated accurately the last couple of years, and sometimes you have teams where you just don't rate them well, and for me, Western Kentucky has been one of those teams. 413, 414 here. Middle Tennessee and North Texas. Line down from 9.5 to 7.5. Total up from 57 to 59.5, or even some 60s and a 61 out there as well. The status of Mason Fine definitely in question for this game. We talked about it earlier on in the week. Middle Tennessee is 42nd in the country in yards per play, but they're in the bottom 30 in scoring offense. Now, Middle Tennessee did have over 10 yards per play in the FCS game that they played earlier on this year. So that is a little bit of an outlier. It is skewing their numbers to some degree, but at this big of a number, I'd have to look at the Middle Tennessee side. My line on this game is actually North Texas minus 3.5. So yeah, North Texas, just a team that has been a disappointment here so far this year. Not really a team I like a whole lot in this one. One more game I want to talk about here with you, and we'll finish up the show. Rice and UTSA. Rice, a 3-point favorite at open, up to 4.5 now. Total coming down from 45 to 42. This is all sharp money on Rice. When you get these very, very under-the-radar games, especially with teams that the public would not touch, like a Rice, this is all sharp money. And you want to pay attention to these types of games. Obviously, you've lost some line value here to take Rice minus 3, minus 3.5. So I'm not saying you want to pay attention to it from that standpoint, but if you do your own power ratings, you want to bump Rice up this week because you've got a sharp side here in Rice. My line on this game, actually Rice minus 2, So I will have to bump Rice up again this week, maybe take UTSA down a little bit. But when you get these very under-the-radar, low-major types of games, to borrow an expression from college basketball, those are sharp moves. And those are things you want to account for in your power ratings. So Rice is a team you'll definitely want to upgrade. They'd be the side I would take here if I had to take anything. But a team that you definitely want to upgrade in your power ratings as we head on into next week. Once again, coming up on Friday, Westgate Super Contest Selection segment with myself and myself, only myself, in that Super Contest segment there for Week 7. Then also Brent from DSI Sportsbook with this week's version of the Odds Report as we talk about sharp money in both the college football and the NFL betting markets. That'll do it for me. Thank you so much for listening, everybody, and I will talk to you again tomorrow.